Mark chapter 7. Finishing up this chapter in Mark today. So Mark chapter 7, starting at verse, 31. Here we go. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into that region of the Decapolis. Now, there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on them. And after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Ephphatha," which means, "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, I want to jump right in, because this is an interesting little setting that we're seeing here. Now, just to set it up, of course, now, we want to, as I hope we're doing, ask ourselves a question as we're moving through narrative. Okay, whenever you're reading through these stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, you know, these sorts of things, we have to ask ourselves all the time is, why is that here, right? Because we know, even from looking at the different Gospels, that sometimes some of these stories get moved around, and we're not necessarily looking at a timeline of things necessarily. And even, because even the day, that was just not often how people thought, right? So it is important to look and understand Mark, the author of this particular gospel, why this healing and why here, right? We're piecing a chain together. We're laying down bricks into a path. Now, we know where this path goes. This leads to the cross. So we're seeing how that fits. It's interesting. What is the vision that Mark is putting to us? Now, we're seeing him build so far, so we have an idea where this is going. All right, so the setting. We know from last week he was in Tyre. He had the woman that he healed there. And from there, you know, we again mentioned that this is north of Israel. It's kind of getting into Gentile lands. Not a good place for a Jew. But Jesus keeps going. He goes deeper. He goes up a side, which is north along the coast. And then he comes back down and, you know, well, from where you're looking, from looking here, it'd be like, he goes down and around like this, and the Sea of Galilee's down here, and he comes back around to the Decapolis. Now, he's been there before. We saw him there healing the demoniac, all right? So he's back, again, still deep into Gentile territory. And we're just looking at this, what's he doing here? Now, he did say, because we heard earlier, even with a woman who wanted his healing touch for his daughter, you know, hey, the children should get the bread first, right? You know, we see a world that he has come to the children of Israel, but here he is leaving the door open, and I think he's showing here right away that this tent, this kingdom that he's putting out there is not an isolated little kingdom amongst others. This is kingdom. This is all, it's everyone, and we want to see that. Now, again, I just real quick here, you know, as you think about this, I was thinking this morning again, that Mark here, and through all the Gospels, in Jesus' ministry, is showing us over and over again, I think, shining a light on our own attitudes and prejudices that we have, that we're going to have, right? We have seen over and over again Jesus kind of showing and destroying and turning upside down our notions of who's inside and who's outside, who is clean and who is unclean, who is desirable and who is undesirable. And he just mixes it all up and just shatters the conventions of the day. And that needs to be true today, too. We come to this with all the baggage of our families and our culture and just our own selfish and the bent of sin. We sang that term today, the bent of sin. I love that. That's a great way to think about it. Just we're supposed to be here. We're just kind of like this sometimes, and it just doesn't, we're not right sometimes. We run into difficulties here with our own expectations, with who's in and who's out. We're running into some difficulties here in this story of the inability or ability to communicate. And so we want to keep that in mind, that we have a broader vision as God does for us. Now we've seen all the way back in like chapter 4. If you remember, there's the parable of the sower. And in that, Jesus, in explaining it, quoted Isaiah chapter 6 saying, you know, we want those not to hear, they may hear, or you know, or see, they may see, or else they'll understand kind of thing. That there's going to be those who are seeing but not seeing. Many of those who are hearing but not hearing, and over again. The ones we think should hear are not hearing, and the ones we think should see are not seeing. And those who shouldn't see are. You know, the disciples who are right next to him are not getting over and over again. And a woman who's been bleeding is completely unclean, or a Gentile demoniac, or they're the ones that are understanding. We want to keep that in mind because that is coming, that is kind of floating over all this narrative. This disjoint of who's in and out and how it should be. So, we come to the story here and we come upon a deaf man. It mentions him as being deaf and unable to barely speak. Now, again, don't miss the little detail of how this guy got there, right? And over again, we're seeing that faith, real faith, comes from outside of the person who needs it. We saw, you know, friends bring a paralytic to a rooftop and bore through to get to Jesus. We're seeing a mother press through a crowd desperately for her daughter to get to Jesus. It's a beautiful thing to keep in mind these people who are standing alongside those that they have heard and seen. And they say, no, we can do something here. There's something that can be done. Because this man, particularly in this situation, is helpless. I mean, it's bad enough that, I mean, he couldn't hear, you know, but in a culture here that is both oral and oral, all right? Speaking and oral hearing, right? That's how things are passed on. That is how people learn. That's everything there. He is cut off from his community here. He cannot participate in the fullness that everybody else can. Because he can't hear what's going on. And when they're sitting around telling the stories, or in the synagogue and they're speaking the word, this man was out. He was an outsider. He was one who many probably thought was unclean, right? We saw earlier when the disciples asked, who sinned? This man is how he is. They probably thought, hey, somebody did something wrong for this man to be cut off from community like this. So he is an outsider. Then here's Jesus. And the friends bring him to Jesus. And again, note how Mark is framing this all the time. He takes him aside. He does not want. I think he wants to get away from the crowds. You know, again, the spectacle. Over and over, he wants this to be something that is, that they completely see everything. So he took him aside. Even though he has this significant limitations. And we see how he wants to get away, and why. I think the reasons why Jesus over and over again is trying to downplay some of the spectacle is this, and I'm going to read this from another smart guy because he put it great, all right? You put it this way, the great enthusiasm over Jesus' work of freeing humanity from the grip of Satan and sin and death, which are great things, right? I mean, that's what we are called to. We are called to proclaim the kingdom of God in all its fullness and its goodness, and to see these kind of things happen in people's lives more and more and more and more. But, these things may prevent people from listening closely to Jesus' message about the cross-shaped character of the kingdom of God. People get so caught up in this great things that God is doing, the healings, the restoration, the forgiveness even, and miss the path that he's calling them to go on. I think that's profound. I think, you know, as we think about even our own ministries, as we're reaching out to people, think of what are we calling people to? You see many churches, and you know, I'm not bashing anybody here. I don't have to look further in a mirror to see my own selfishness. And, okay, but I've seen ministries that, you know, sometimes they grow up around a personality or grow up around spectacular things, these large mega churches that, you know, are just peddling in. Again, there's my bias, I'm sorry. You know, are proclaiming, you know, all these spectacular things can happen, healings or whatever it may be, and completely miss a life of sacrifice and self-giving. You know, they come for the good, they come for the food, but they don't want to go down the hard path. So I think that's what Jesus is thinking here sometimes. He said, okay, guys, yes, this is what it's about. This is good. You know, do these things, but it can be too much. Now, we're seeing here another interesting thing. We've seen Jesus heal from someone just touching the hem of his garment. We've seen Jesus heal by just speaking a word, right? But this one, it's kind of gross. Let's just be honest, folks. And I tell you what, in this particular culture, at this time, this is disgusting. This is, ugh. I mean, he's sticking. Okay, I go to somebody, just stick. You know, I'm not sticking my finger in anybody's ear. Okay, I'm not. I don't know what you got in there. I don't care. I'm not going there. All right. And he spits. I don't want anyone touching my tongue. I don't like when the doctor tries to, or the dentist. I don't like it. That's a very personal space. And then to spit, and spit is like, in this cultural context, is like excrement. It's an insult. You spit, that's just, they're lower than a dog if you spit at somebody. So here's Jesus, and we're going to see later, like spitting mud, and, ugh, right? Okay, what is going on here? This is interesting, isn't it? All right. Why this story right here? What is going on? Well, it just seems like Mark, as he's explaining and showing us by the Spirit this dynamic of the kingdom of God, that it's not, in God's economy, the unclean, the infected, the dirty, contact with that does not make the clean unclean. It's the opposite. In God's kingdom, the clean and the contact with the unclean cleanses, heals, restores. It's upside down, it's backwards from this broken world. And so we're seeing Mark just ratchet up more and more and more. We're seeing Jesus shatter barriers of ethnicity, of gender, and saying, no, folks, this is not how things are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be fighting with each other. We're not supposed to be excluding each other. We're not supposed to be putting ourselves into a pecking order. And who's the boss? Who's the not boss? Who's the powerful? Who's the not powerful? And here Mark just takes it up another notch with spit and sticking fingers in the ears. rather than being concerned like the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were very concerned about even inadvertently becoming unclean, right? They order their lives in such a way that they put such boundaries and barriers just so that they, you know, would not even have the chance of being unclean. Right? You know, the line may be here. Here's the border. And the Pharisees say, you know what? I'm going to put the border here. That way I got some cushion. And that way I'll be good before God. And Jesus said, that's ridiculous. It's not the food you eat that makes you unclean. It's what's in your heart. Right? And so, again, so here we're seeing this concern that the Pharisees about unwillingly becoming unclean. And Jesus here goes out of his way, it seems like, to touch in culturally offensive ways. He could have just said, you're healed. No. He's again breaking down the barriers even further. Touch them. It's okay. You're not going to be unclean. You spit. It's just spit, folks. That's still gross. But it's just spit. Okay? It doesn't make you unclean. Mark is like portraying to us and pushing this idea to the point of this being ridiculous or obnoxious. And I think that's the point. And I think one thing we have to keep in mind then, what we see here as Christians, as people are following Jesus, that we do not have to be afraid of this world. We're concerned. We see the badness of it all. We don't have to be afraid of it. I don't have to be afraid to come in contact and rub shoulders with somebody that is unclean, I guess, right? I mean, true faith in following Jesus is a complete lack of fear. And we fear for all kinds. Think about this. I was thinking about this morning. I mean, honestly, much of the anxiety that I had to struggle with, you regards my family, right? My four children, I love them. I want the best of them. I want them to be safe. I want them to follow Jesus. You know, and so throughout their growing up, you know, we put guardrails, as we should. You know, okay, be careful, do this, do that, you know, and those kind of things. And morally, we do those same kinds of things. You know, hey, yeah, maybe you shouldn't go to this, or maybe you shouldn't do that kind of thing. But, again, especially as you're older and older and older, you know, I have to just say, hey, Lord, I'm probably acting in ways that are fearful. You know, they want to go do something or, you know, be there. And I think, oh, man, who's going to be there? Who's supervising this thing? You know, again, good questions. Okay, folks, I'm not saying, turn your kids loose, let them run wild. No, you know, but I do the same thing for me. And maybe I shouldn't. You know, maybe I've told you a story before. I'll tell it again. I'm embarrassed as can be. I was in South Minneapolis and I was going to get a haircut. And there's a barbershop I'd seen down the street. I'd never been there before. So, okay, I'm just going to get a haircut. I go boom, boom, boom. I go walking in. I walk like four steps into it. And I look. And I went. And there's these. I'm so ashamed. It's four black people sitting there. And they looked at me. And they go, hey, what do you want? I went. And in that moment, I was afraid. I it wasn't what I expected. They were different. And I said, I thought this was someplace else. Sorry. And I just booked it out of there. What in the world is going on, right? These are the kind of things I just felt. Just distance and others and are afraid for a reason. It's stupid. As Christians, we don't have to be afraid. We are not going to be contaminated by the world. Remember, in the kingdom of God, it's the opposite. Where you are in the context, it goes the other way. That's awesome. Now, again, I'm not saying, hey, okay, folks, you know, Friday night, let's hit the bars. All right? Necessarily. But, on the other hand, if you find yourself in a situation where you're at a bar, I don't know how that'll be, but it could happen, whatever. You don't be afraid. You're a child of God. Live like a child of God. Right? Don't embarrass your father by your actions. But you're not going to be tainted by being in the presence. In fact, maybe that's where you should be. Jesus over and over was scolded for hanging out with sinners. Who are the sinners you're hanging out with? And if you aren't hanging out with any sinners, how are those sinners going to hear this? I think too often we expect them to come to us. Get yourself cleaned up a little bit and come in and you can see these good things. And folks, we need to go to them. And not in a condescending way of just come alongside them and say, "Hi, I'm with you. Hey, there's some good things here." You know, whatever it is. Pastor, who are the sinners in your life? And if there aren't any, go find some. Pretty easy. It's going to be no problem, really. If you aren't sure, I can give you some recommendations. All right. We want to use wisdom here, right? I mean, Ephesians 5 does tell us, have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness, right? The deeds. I mean, don't do those things, right? Be careful, but it doesn't say reject the people of the dark deeds. Get to them. Show them. Be there for them. Exclusion breeds disdain, right? When we are exclusive, when we are cloistered communities, we become disdainful and judgmental. That's what's going to happen every single time. Because we aren't in contact with the others and we become cut off. Now, one thing I want us to, I think, help us understand what's going on here. There are a lot of scriptural echoes that are coming through these narratives, right? For instance, think about this. At the end of this story, they said, "He's done everything well." We are seeing in the kingdom of God and what Jesus is doing a creation and new creation theme. He's recreating, he's making things new. And what happened, if you hear that, you might hear an echo of like Genesis 1:31, when he says, when he looked at all he made, and God said, "It's very good." Right? That's what's happening. I think that's what's happening here. We're seeing is in this creation space, as God's renewing things, the people are saying, "Oh, this is really good." We're seeing that echo there. I think it's there. I think we see a similar thing from Ecclesiastes 3:11. God says, "He's made everything beautiful in its time." Right? That's what the kingdom of God is about, of making things beautiful again. Things can be ugly and bent and twisted and sin, and it's all nasty. But then there's healing, restoration, and made beautiful again. Look at Exodus 4. Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, there it is. I'm sorry, I should have marked it here. But Exodus chapter 4, and starting at verse 10, I'm sorry. Exodus 4, verse 10. This is interesting. Listen for this echo. Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I'm kind of deaf and can't speak well." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? It is I. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will teach you to speak and will teach you what to say." I have to imagine that the Jewish people in seeing this kind of thing are thinking, yes, this is like this, right? That there's this picture of wholeness and being made well and new that's happening here. Isaiah 35 speaks the same thing, of the deaf hearing, the blind seeing, when that one comes and makes these things new. So there's an echo here. We see Jesus as he puts his hands upon this man. And he lets out a deep sigh. Now you know. You know what I'm hearing here, don't you? So just say it. Deep sigh. Romans 8. Right, you know, the groaning. We know that all creation is groaning, as in the pains of childbirth. And later on that same chapter, at verses 26-27, Paul says that Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us, and by that Spirit, But a groaning spirit, he knows, is praying for us too. So I say all that for this reason, just so that we're clear here. We see this healing and the context of it. Now, sometimes when we look at the Bible and we see certain things, and we might want to allegorize put spiritual meaning into something that maybe necessarily doesn't have spiritual meaning, or the other way around, okay? We can do that sometimes, you know? And so we have to be careful, always. You know, we don't want to put something into something that's not there, right? But I do think that with this spiritual echoes that we can see, and the way that Mark is putting this forth to us, that there is a spiritual side to this too. Because over and over again, Jesus said in that parable of the sowers, about those who see and don't see, and hear and don't hear. And that's been the theme all through. So there's the spiritual application that's here that we have to make sure we're catching. The restoration of the kingdom of God, the fulfillment we see when Jesus comes back, have to be reconciled with what's going on here. Now I think we understand that for the most part, much of the physical healing that Jesus is showing, the physical restoration that Jesus is showing us, that is going to happen for the most part when he returns, right? Because after Jesus left, we still see the decay. We still see the die. We still see the diseases. We still see the brokenness of humanity. And even as we, again, work to expand this kingdom goodness where we are, we know it's still going to be there in some way. And the final end is at the end when Jesus comes back and his kingdom is fully restored. So we understand that. But the spiritual aspect that we all are suffering too, the deafness, the blindness, we have to understand that this is speaking to that in these different ways, I think. One, let's remember this. Healing, restoration can be difficult, right? When we're seeking to expand or to show healing or love or goodness, that it can be messy, right? It may not just be easy. Say, you know, something is as simple as a conflict between people. Somebody said something hurtful, or maybe it's a lifetime of hurt. And then all of a sudden the person realized it, asked for forgiveness, right? Now, it may not be as easy as saying, okay, you're forgiven. It can be messy. Might be some spit involved. Might have to get messy for a while. These things are not easy things. But just showing here, no, but do it. Go. Struggle. Don't worry about expectations of this world. Do the hard work sometimes of these things. Because it may be hard. Be it reconciliation or forgiveness or whatever it may be. Or physical healing. When we ask for physical healing, we're seeking it with all our hearts. And yet we're still seeing it not happening. But how's that work in our kingdom space here? I mean, shouldn't there be restoration healing here? Well, it's tough. And maybe, it's the hard work of coming alongside each other in these things. And just being there and helping and serving and offering comfort. Even in the face of not seeing a physical healing, knowing that even if we're saying today, if we say, it's going to come then. That the irony of my death means that I'm not going to die. Right? That's great. The death that I see, this is as dead as I'm going to ever be. Right here. Right now. This. And then when this decays and falls apart on me, as it is, that's when I'm going to be really alive. That's what we're looking for. That's the kingdom perspective. I mentioned already, but I think this really points us to the idea of beware of spiritual barriers that we put up. Let us be very careful in our own hearts of who we see is in or out or can be in or can be out. Jesus is going into these deep into Gentile territories shows us that it is expanded. And we're going to see more and more it is out there. And it's not going to be based simply upon a Jewish hierarchy or the Jewish laws, anything like that, right? Those are good, they're fine. Jesus came for that. But let's not put upon others something we do not need to put upon them. And don't be afraid of impurity around you. Beware the spiritual danger of comfort. I was just thinking about this, and it's peripheral, this kind of, but we are comfortable people, right? We are. And as we think about, you know, these people coming to Jesus, they were desperate. They were not comfortable. And I fear in my own life sometimes that in my own comfort, if I'm comfortable and things are going well and I'm fed and all these good things, I have a great family, and I'm thankful for that. Am I praying or desiring, even as we sang today, for Jesus to come back, for Jesus to restore things and make things new? Maybe we're thinking, well, I'm fine. Lord, you can hold off if you want to. Things are good. And Revelation tells us, no, come, Lord Jesus, come, please come. Is that our prayer? And if we're not suffering, are we identifying with the suffering? Sometimes I think, the closest times I've been to God have been those times that have been very, very hard. But I've also sometimes been close to God is when I've been in hard places. So, again, we can't manipulate God here, right? But I would just ask you to beware. And if in your own life you're feeling the comfort and it may be distracting to you, one, Lord may just put something in your path that will turn you. Or you could turn yourself and put yourself in places that maybe are dirty or unclean or with the suffering and identify with them deeply so we understand and follow him. And here's my last one. I'm sorry, I got a little long here. But we have to understand here that people cannot hear unless they can hear. Right? You can't hear something unless you can hear something. So, if someone out there in the world, if we're taking the spiritual metaphor here, as we're seeing these spiritual principles come through, and if we say, okay, people out there are lost, they can't say the Lord, they can't hear. Well, how do they hear? How does someone who can't hear hear? I was with some friends, and we were getting chicken wings at a place. Eat some chicken wings. And there's like five of us guys from I knew. And across the area there was a group of young women. And one of the guys I was with was particularly taken with one of the young women that was over here. So, wow, she's really pretty. I think I should just go introduce myself. Okay, whatever. Go for it, dude. We went over there, and she was deaf. And so he said, oh, okay. And she can read lips fine. Okay, we'll do that. But here's what he did. He goes, how are you? My name is Tom. What did he? She can't hear. All right? Louder isn't going to do a thing. And I think we're like that sometimes. You know what? Maybe I'm just louder. They'll see Jesus. If I can just get a megaphone and really blast them, they'll see Jesus. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. Maybe. But the example we see here is, because who makes someone hear? Jesus does, right? Jesus helps us to hear. So what had to happen was, that he had to get to Jesus, which brings us back to his friends, who they were. They heard about Jesus. They had the faith, and they took him to Jesus. They didn't blast him with anything. They just said, hey, here's Jesus.
He's the one that can help you.
I think sometimes, you know, what we need to do, and the church needs to do, and us, is that to people who can't hear, but they can maybe see, again, our metaphors get all mixed up, but what if they're blind? Whatever. Stay with this one, the hear. But what can they do? They can see something, right? They could watch a play and see something and understand what's going on. You know, maybe they could they can see things. So maybe we need to act out what they need to see. We can act out who this Jesus is and what he can do for you. And isn't that what we're doing? When we do goodness and good deeds and show the world our love for each other, and we show each other forgiveness as we show each other what it is to live in community together? Act it out. And they'll see that. And then when Jesus opens their ears, then we start to do things there. Goodness and good deeds is a universal language. Anybody can understand it. Anybody. Somebody, you know, if you've ever been somewhere where they don't speak your language, or you don't speak theirs, it's kind of arrogant of me. I go somewhere, hey, you don't speak my language. I've been there. I was in Montreal once, and it was French. I speak French there, right? And, couldn't understand a thing anyone said. You know, mostly in English, but some didn't. But you could just, like, there was one time when, like, a woman was struggling with her bags getting onto a bus. And I just went over and I said, hey, and I just grabbed one and held her up there. Not a word was spoken. She gave a big smile and said, you know, merci, or whatever she said. See, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And we do these kinds of things as we act out and show people good deeds, love, community, mercy, forgiveness, acceptance. Then we can get involved in the dirty, grimy sometimes work of healing and restoration together. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I pray that anything I may have put forth here that was unclear, by your Spirit, make things clear. And Lord, I pray, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this example of Jesus as he seeks and preaches the kingdom of God in all its fullness and flourishing and goodness and healing. And help us to be agents of that kingdom. Help us to live it, to show it, to act it out, that people may see and be drawn to it. Drawn to the one who can heal, who can restore. And we thank you for it. And we pray, even now, Lord, come, Lord, please come. In Jesus' name, amen.